AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The fastest goals. The expert's opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Back underway for the second half of the 3 o'clock games. It is the same 11 for Rangers, unchanged. You wonder if Barry Ferguson was impressed with what he saw. You also wonder, Hugh, what the message really is when everyone's in this state of treading water. You know, can Barry Ferguson, can he go in and strip the paint off the walls if he's not happy? Does it matter the same way it often might?
But does he have another style of management? Because I think that is Barry's style of management. Just rip into the players. And they'll have Neil McCann trying to do the tactical side of the thing, and Billy Dodds and Alan McGregor in there as well, but it doesn't look good. On the day that Celtic win 5-0, win their 13th league title out of the last 14, equal Rangers on 55 league titles, there we have Rangers struggling away in Paisley. It does not look good.
Listen, we've not been in the dressing room. It's easy for us to say that Barry Ferguson was quite an animated player. It's absolutely... Hold on.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Michael Vimmer's team talk must have worked a treat, because Motherwell have scored a third, and it is Tom Sparrow with the goal. So lots, two of the goals coming from the defensive players, but I don't think they'll care. It was Dominic Thompson's cross. Tom Sparrow arriving 6 yards out, finds the finish. Motherwell have a cushion.
I said that St Johnson had gone. I now add another 3 words: well and truly gone. And they'll be a championship side next season. Simo Valakari seems like a very decent man, a bit of an idealist about how he approaches football, but he'll be a championship manager next season if he's still there.
Yeah, that's good night. That's good night from him. Their only hope was to get a victory today. And when you looked at that, even Dundee are one at Hearts, and you've got Ross County, obviously that would be your focus. They're losing down at Kilmarnock, but for us, Johnston, I totally agree with you. Championship next year.
And although most people had them safe anyway, Motherwell still needed something.
Yeah, a point would have been plenty. Look, I still think Motherwell had enough to keep them safe, but just get it over the line, make sure, and that certainly seals it for them.
When you look at the as things stand table, Motherwell will be above Hearts right now. As things stand, Motherwell are 2 points above Hearts. Kilmarnock would be 2 points beneath Hearts, and Dundee would go on to 37 points, 3 points away from Hearts. 4 games left to play. It's not too late for Hearts to be dragged into this mess in a playoff sense.
There's just too many teams below them though, isn't there? There's just too many.
I don't think, I know what you're saying when you look at the table, but I don't think Hearts will be brought into that.
40 points. No, 40, I think 40 is almost certainly going to be enough, Hugh, because of the number of teams below. If it's going to be a kind of record breaking, don't know if that's the right phrase, but record breaking season in that regard, because you can almost guarantee that whatever team ends up in 11th will do so with the highest points total that you usually see in that area of the pitch. Just going back to Barry Ferguson, Gordon, we don't know what his style is. We know he was a very vocal player.
Yeah.
But Andrew McLean says he was furious on the touchline. So you can imagine him going in and trying to make his point. But is this inevitable? I know people talk about professional pride and you play for your future. So I do, I get all that. But if a manager in his situation is tearing the paint off the walls. Is it inevitable that some players might think,
switch off?
You might not even be here next season. Yeah. We don't know who's here next season. Who cares? And I know it's uncomfortable as a fan because you like to believe that players don't do that, mm-hmm. but they're human beings also.
Yeah, I think that the modern day manager nowadays, like say Fergie and the Jim McLean's eras, they're all gone. You can get in there, like, you can say strong words. You don't need to be throwing things about a dressing room, because you're right, players switch off now. You've got guys in there that's, you know, not used to that sort of a man management. And Barry might be completely opposite. He might get in there, he might use strong words, he might put a bit of demands on them. I'd be very surprised if he's in throwing things about, as we always called it, the hairdryer treatment. I don't think he will. I think he'll be telling them how disappointed he is in them. Because the one thing about this Rangers team, and it's under Barry as well, they lose too many goals for me. I think that's, since Barry went into the job, 19 in about 11 games, you ain't going to win a lot of games losing goals.
No. But I do think that he cares so much for the club that is his style of management. Why aren't you caring as much as I am caring? And the quote you read out earlier, Gordon, about I want the players to hurt.
Well, maybe it's worked.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Because Nicholas Raskin has scored, left footed, low finish, edge of the box, and we're in 1 Rangers 2. There you go, gets the reaction.
Yeah, well, whatever style of management, it's probably worked it in the dressing room. I don't know. Only Rangers players can tell you. He's certainly asked for a response. And to be fair to him and fair to the players, they've given him that response. And it's that man Raskin. I know Mark was saying on Thursday night that, you know, he may be in the four for player of the year, and he's certainly having a real strong end to the season.
I think he deserves to be in the four. I think he's been... Rangers have had a poor season, but again, they're still second best in the league, and he's been, for me, their best player, and he's added goals to his game in the second half of the season. So I think he deserves, you know, that place in that four. He's been a real leader. No, he doesn't wear the armband, but he has at certain times this season, but he has been a real leader. But for Barry Ferguson, I guess he'll just remind players of the certain standards and remind them what they've worked on. I think the frustration for him is that the Rangers players carry probably his and Neil McCann's instructions out for small periods, and then they seem to lapse, and then it's constantly needs to be, you know, emphasised again. You look at Brendan Rodgers on the touchline. I know it's easy when they're 5-0 up. He's very rarely shouting or ranting, is he? Because his players carry out the instructions. Then he'll rejig things at halftime. Barry's always seemed to be onto this group.
Is it this type of thing that Nicholas Raskin also has to do much more, Gordon? He has had a good season. Mm-hmm. He's excellent off the ball. Is this the next step for him?
Yeah, scoring goals. Yeah, because you look at everybody's patting McGregor on the back because he dictates game. This season, he's added goals from distance. You're a midfield player now. You've got to have the all-round game. Yes, you're there to try and win the battle mid part. You're there to control the pace of the game, like McGregor does for Celtic as a captain. But if you're going to be a top midfield player, you've got to get goals.
Well, Rangers are in front now. St Mirren 1, Rangers 2. Motherwell have stretched their advantage. They're 3-1 up at home to St Johnstone. Let's do this, Hugh. We almost forgot about it.
Yeah.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The second half teaser.
With the scottishsun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Let me tell you now, I think this is impossible.
Never.
Right, Hugh, we'll let you know.
I have played alongside Gylfi Sigurdsson and Ollie Burke. I have been managed by Ralph Ranick. I have played in three countries, including Scotland, and appeared for my country. Who am I? I've played alongside Gylfi Sigurdsson and Ollie Burke. Managed by Ralph Ranick. Played in three countries, including Scotland, and appeared for my country. Who am I?
I'll take your "this is impossible" and raise you. Someone will have that within 5 minutes.
Okay, you can let me know.
We will see. Nicholas Raskin booked for leaving one on Killian Phillips. The two of them have been at it all game. Yellow card comes out. I think I referred to Matthew McDermott as being the VAR earlier on, didn't I? And said he's actually the fourth official. Sorry, so he is present and correct. That game, Ayr have equalised. Quick turnaround there to Queen's Park 2. Mark McKenzie with the goal there 10 minutes after the restart. So maybe they are trying to play their way into playoff form. Still level between Raith and Morton, is it, Mark
1-1,
Wilson?
1-1, yeah. Are you
nervous?
I think so.
Are you nervous over there, Mark Wilson?
Not really, no. There's not much I can do, is it? I didn't get nervous.
Okay.
Well, your last game, what, is Livingston at Livingston?
Livingston, is it Livingston?
Yeah.
Yep.
And obviously you go there with a lot of confidence. When is that, next Friday?
It's next Friday. You coming?
No,
I've invited you to every Friday game, and I know the Partick Thistle fans would love to see you.
I would
there.
Love to be in amongst them, celebrating a great achievement.
You should go next Friday.
He's never turned up to any of
your best friend in the whole world.
I don't even like him.
Could secure playoffs.
I'll tell you what I would do. I'd go to the playoffs. I like the playoffs.
You say that and well, you win to turn up as
I
well.
I went to the Partick Raith Rovers one at Stats Park.
So you did. That was because it was a freebie and you were doing a wee turn at it. You're getting a wee pocket full of cash.
There you go, Gordon. I was just getting up to wash the statue.
I was working at the playoffs when it went the opposite way for Partick Thistle against Livy.
Ah, right.
I remember that day. I remember it well. Livy came into the Premiership. They might fancy getting back there, of course, this season as well. Might even go up automatically. Who would have thought that, Hugh Keevans?
Well, you know, I still think that Partick Thistle are scarred by what happened in Dingwall, and it taken the club a long time to get over that. You know, to have gone there with such a lead and to have collapsed late on, that does leave psychological scarring. But I really, really wish them well. As I say, I texted Mark Wilson immediately, knowing he would get it after the game, but I'm so pleased for you when that
you
goal
did,
went
out. Thank
to
you.
Thank you. Did they reply to you? Because
you get far too much.
The amount of times I text him and I hear nothing back, I thought, it's like falling
shall
out.
I say what the text was, the last text you sent me?
I was like, falling out with your girlfriend, you never text back.
He texts me just before the game, wishing me luck.
Exactly.
That's the first time he's done that. There's a few other words in there that I won't disclose it live on air, but you can imagine that along what lines.
I was thinking about you.
Queen of the South,
you are.
Queen of the South 1, Stenhouse Muir 0, Fraser Bryden with the goal there. Queens have been on a really good run recently. Are you surprised at the lack of anything from Pittodrie?
Yeah, very. Maybe it means too much to both of them, and there's a lot of caution in the air.
I think we all went for a draw in that one, did we? Did you go for
I went for Hibs. Listen, David Gray, I think, will be happy with that. The emphasis isn't on him to go and win the game. It's a tough fixture away at Pittodrie, especially when you're on that run. I guess just naturally, I know he's thinking confidently and finishing the season strong, but you must think this has got to come to an end sometime. Just being realistic. So he'll certainly not want it to be against an Aberdeen side who can then, you know, leapfrog them or go level in points certainly with them. So he can just afford to sit in and hopefully soak up a bit of pressure and then
I totally agree with you, Mark. I think a draw at Pittodrie would be a good result for Hibs. Take the point down the road. It keeps them in that third position. And it keeps that unbeaten record going. So, yeah, I would take a point. If you can get all three, brilliant. But a point would be happy for me.
Hearts creating nothing, says David Friel. Won't go down well.
Well, that's another of the problems. They don't score. I think in the season as a whole, Shankland's got 5-6 goals, and no one else is chipping in. They had Dundee United at Tynecastle to stay in the top six and lost 1-0 to Dundee United. They had an Aberdeen team last weekend in the Cup who, you know, they're there, good luck to them, but they're not exactly top drawer, and Hearts struggle to score. So there's nothing going Neil Critchley's way at the moment.
Quick VAR check for a challenge on Mohamed Diamande, but nothing given. And on we go, still the same scoreline, still 1-2-1, sorry, to Rangers there in Paisley.
I wonder when the managerial situation will be resolved though at Rangers. Interesting, Barry Ferguson, you know, obviously coming out and saying it needs to be sooner rather than later. And that's a guy in interim charge saying that. Got a sporting director in. You just wonder how long it'll take, because Rangers will be way behind in terms of preparations for next season.
Yeah. Although the legals, as they call them, have not been finished yet, between American lawyers and British lawyers, they have appointed the sporting director. Now, that tells me that Rangers talk to Andrew Kavanagh.
Like, he's been going to games, hasn't he?
Yeah, he must have approved.
Yeah, greenlit that appointment.
Yeah, and therefore that would tell me that if they go to him with a name for manager, then there'll be talks about that.
I think they've got to. I think they've got to start putting things in place. You see Celtic where they are just now. I wouldn't be surprised if that's next on the list. They brought in a sporting director, and you know, I look at his background, and there's a guy that managed, and I'm very friendly with. I spoke to him about him because he was his director of youth at Preston. He then took him to Derby. He became part of the staff in the playoff for Billy Davis, looked after him, gave him. So, you know, you bring the sporting director in there, you've now got to look that he will appoint the next manager. So I would be looking to do it as quickly as I possibly can, because you can't, for me, you can't wait to the end of the season. You've got to get things in place. Celtic will already be further down the road, so you can't be playing catch up all the time.
Do you think they'll just wait till after the Celtic game is out the way next week?
Maybe, Mark, and that wouldn't be a bad shout. You know, I think they've got to really, really, and Barry Ferguson's even out after the European campaign finished, and he was even saying, look, even if it's not me, I still think we should start getting things into place. And
that was an interesting one, Barry Ferguson saying, I read that he wouldn't be interested in a managerial job elsewhere. I thought he would have used this as a springboard to say, I'm ready to come back in at a slightly higher level. I think he might have got the opportunity somewhere, but saying he wasn't interested and he'll revert back to his role as club ambassador, that surprised me.
Have you maybe seen that though? You know, we maybe don't think about it because not many people get the chance, right? But is it possible that he sees himself as a figurehead and a leader of a big institution, and one that he's certainly got close to his heart, but just simply doesn't see himself as the manager of, I don't know, Queen of the South or whatever, you know, where he's dealing with all the other stuff, and he maybe doesn't have the personal passion for it anyway, the way he would for Rangers.
Well, just the quality at those levels are probably hard to deal with for a guy like Barry Ferguson, whose standards are so high. And in some respects, this level of management should be easier, but he's come in and he's inherited this squad and bad habits that they've picked up. So I would maybe tend to cut him a wee bit of slack. It would be interesting to see if he did get the job and he had his own players, how successful a manager he would be at this level. But he obviously just doesn't want to go back to that, because there is so much that comes attached to that you wouldn't even believe. And some of it, myself, lower level, Marvin will tell you as well, other guys on the show, it's been there. Charlie Mulgrew just got a taste of it as well. It's just a different game from what these guys are dealing with when they were professional players.
So what happens if he beats Celtic next weekend? Back-to-back wins, home and away, against Brendan Rodgers. Does that put the cat amongst the pigeons?
I don't think so. I think it'll still be someone else, yeah.
Yeah?
I do.
Oh, big save from Liam Kelly to deny Idowu, who's just came on for St Mirren. Suter was caught a bit on the ball at the edge of his own box. I don't think for the first time today Liam Kelly saves with an outstretched leg.
Well, keeping Rangers in it, as I say, I think for Barry Ferguson, we can argue or debate whether back-to-back wins over Celtic might be of any use to him in terms of getting the Rangers job. But one thing he can't do is not win this one in Paisley.
Yeah, big chance for St Mirren. They might be kicking themselves because Rangers have looked a lot more dominant since they got that second goal and took the lead not long after half time. But really, St Mirren should be level.
Yeah, but the sounds of it today, St Mirren, Rangers have given up a few chances, Gordon. So one thing I think that no matter who comes into building, you need to address that right away. You always fancy a goal against Rangers, always. But unfortunately for St Mirren, they've not been able to capitalise on that this afternoon. But I still think there's a goal in this game.
They concede so many chances, Rangers, just now domestically, because I think they're a wee bit in between. So they try to play out through the back, but I don't think they've got the personnel, or I don't think they've got the right idea and the consistency and kind of the patterns. Like, you look at Celtic and they struggled for 10 minutes, all of a sudden there's a wee tweak and everybody knows their job and it's easy and they play it. Rangers try it, but they often get caught, and that's been the case today at St Mirren. They should have been punished for it more than they have been.
Rocky Bashiri heads over from a corner. That's about as close as we're getting really to an opener there. Let's recap the teaser, Hugh, and do some wrong answers.
Okay. I played alongside Gylfi Sigurdsson and Ollie Burke. I've been managed by Ralph Rangnick. I've played in three countries, including Scotland, and appeared for my country. Who am I?
Okay. Jiggy thinks it could be Scott Sinclair.
It's not.
Scott McGowan thinks Ahmad Diallo.
Think again.
Okay. Keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB. Got another goal to tell you about. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Game on at Fir Park. St Johnstone 2. Motherwell have it there in the lead, of course. Motherwell 3, St Johnstone 2. Elliot Watt with the goal. A good strike, 25 yards out, low into the right hand corner. And still plenty of time for St Johnstone to get something here.
Yeah, a lifeline for St Johnstone. I think it's Fraser, it's Motherwell. We've been enjoying the goals, but nervous times. I thought Motherwell would have, after the 3-1, right after half time, probably went on to secure the 3 points and score more goals, especially at home. But they're making a fight of it.
You thought that was done and dusted. Good night, you said.
I did.
Oh, nervy times.
Yeah, because St Johnstone, they've nothing to lose. They may as well just go and have
That's
a go.
Danger.
Throw things. Yeah, exactly, Mark. We've been there. Go and throw everything at them. See if you can get something, salvage something out of the game. But as Motherwell's point of view, they're still at home and they're still leading. So let's see what happens. But plenty of football still to be played.
Absolutely. Big turnaround from Kelty. Cove 2, Kelty 2 now. Ross Cunningham has been Kelty's biggest attacking threat all season. He's scored to level that one up in League One. Any chance of you two getting that teaser, just out of curiosity?
I'm still trying to find out who Sigurdsson played for. Who does
Swansea, Everton?
He's at another team.
He's someone else.
Just saying. I think we'll leave it there for now, actually. Don't think we need any more clues quite yet, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's hard.
I think there is another disallowed goal at Pittodrie, if that's any use to you, if that excites you. Nisbet Ockels with the cutback, but again, disallowed. I don't know, does that really mean we're getting closer? Is that the way it works? I don't know.
Not sure about that. Dave will still be enjoying it though.
Who?
Dave
who? Oh, Galloway.
He just enjoys any day out at Pittodrie with the Red Army.
The last bus home.
Ockels judged to be offside. Good save from Amisa to deny Ndaba. Forgot about that game. It's going quite quiet because Kelly scored so early, didn't they? And then not a lot happening. There's now a VAR check for a potential St Mirren penalty. So we'll wait and see the outcome of that one. Nsiala's foul, it was initially given as a free kick. It's one of these, then is it inside the box or is it not? Now remember, any contact on the line would be a penalty, and it's very hard. It's very marginal, some of these things, because you're maybe looking at where does contact start and where does it end, and if it continues into the box, it can be a penalty, all that stuff. It's down the side of the box. It's not about whether he was close enough to goal. He was down the side of the box.
So has he gone to the monitor?
Not yet. He won't go to the monitor, I wouldn't have thought, because should just be a factual overturn if there is to be one.
Those are the ones VAR are good for, because it's so difficult for referees, especially if you're saying it's down the side of the box, to see.
Andrew McLean is keeping an eye out I think the initial feeling for most was that it was outside. But again, you're just saying that, you know, there's no point in.
It's great when the players, you know, crowd the referee. They can all see better, can't they?
Sure.
Than anybody.
It is a free kick. Free kick stands. So that was the initial decision, remember, was free kick. And that is what it's going to be. So it's down the side of the box. So it's more of a crossing opportunity.
Good spot from the referee then. They never get the credit in those situations. Everybody just moves on, but those ones are tricky for them.
That is true, actually. You're almost waiting to pounce on the mistake.
You're waiting to say, I got it wrong.
If there isn't one, no one says anything at all.
Yeah.
But it's a possible let off for Rangers, but you know, if there's 20 minutes to go in the game, 2-1, they really could be doing with a third goal just for Barry Ferguson's peace of mind.
Right, what have we got? Oh, we've got another goal, actually.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
That might be that at Killy. They've made it to Liam Donnelly. Smart finish, close range. It had been coming. And they lead Ross County. Remember, they are very, very near rivals in the table heading into today by 2-0.
Well, Derek McInnes would be beside himself if they didn't hold on to a 2-goal lead with 20 minutes to play at home. So I think that's done and dusted.
Big result, Hugh.
Yeah.
Big result. I think that takes the pressure off of Kilmarnock, but obviously leaves Ross County in real trouble because, as it stands, Dundee are going to leapfrog them and they'll be right into that danger zone.
Takes Kilmarnock to within 2 points of Hearts, as things stand.
Yeah. So Ross County, I keep saying it, I would have loved to have followed Ross County. You're never going over to getting 1 week to the other. They can pull out good results.
How would you love to follow Ross County? That's what I need to know.
Because I like teams that are,
as in you'd go and watch them.
Unpredictable, yeah.
You'd go to Dingwall to watch the games.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like Dingwall.
When was the last game you were at? Because you went through a wee stage, remember, that you were getting out to games.
The start of last season, he went to a few, didn't he?
You're counting the crowd and all that. Remember that?
Yeah.
What happened? There was a wee period that you were loving it.
I think he thought he was some sort of scout for a while.
I like summer football. I'm all for a summer football.
Well, it's nearly there. Not today, right enough.
And I will be back round the grounds once the weather comes. I love a pre-season game. I really do.
Nobody likes pre-season games.
Cheaper, no. Easier to get comp tickets. That's why he likes them.
I like a wee pre-season game.
So you can
game.
See the team's patterns and stuff.
Exactly,
and
the new players and how they're bedding
punditry.
Into the club. And just be ready for Super Scoreboard this Saturday.
Bonnyrigg Rose have scored, Hugh, against Spartan. So that improves their position at the bottom. East Kilbride are still leading in the playoff to meet them. But it's only 2-1 now to East Kilbride. They're down to 10 men.
Oh, it's a blow.
So it could be a bit of a nervy finish for East Kilbride. I think they've been forced into a couple of changes as well. So maybe not as straightforward as it looked at one stage.
We're a bit biased here, obviously, being in the Central Belt, because we always hear about East Kilbride and the investment and the good football. Don't really know anything about Brora and the challenges that they bring.
Good side. 4-4-2 they play.
4-4-2. Two up top.
Slater, and I think it's a boy Brown. Good play.
Absolutely making that up. Václav Černý's ready.
By the way, that's believable.
That's convincing there.
Václav Černý's ready to come on, but there's been a goal first in Paisley.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Rangers must be sick of the sight of St Mirren this season. The Buddies have equalised with about 20 minutes, just under 20 minutes to go. The home side have enjoyed good spells in this game. They perhaps were unlucky to fall behind early on. They equalised straight away. They fell behind at the start of the second half and they are level once again. There was a low ball across from former Rangers player Declan John, and there was Connor McMenamin sliding in on as a sub. He's had a miserable time of it due to injuries, so he will have enjoyed that. It is St Mirren 2, Rangers 2.
Sloppy afternoon for Rangers then.
Varchek for offside. Hold your thoughts. This
take
is the problem. All this stuff about players don't know how to celebrate. We don't know how to react to goals. Take it away, Hugh,
If it stands, sloppy afternoon for Rangers. If it's disallowed by VAR, big let off for Rangers, because this just has the feel of Celtic won the league earlier in the day, and a team going through the motions but not giving it their all.
Like, we'll just wait and see. I'm telling you, we're the hidden victims of VAR. Because you just, and I think Andrew's suggestion is he thought maybe he was in an offside position, but then you can never tell. That's the whole point. That's why they draw the lines.
Oh, it'll be sickening if it is, yeah, for St Mirren.
Because you need your let off.
The amount of chances St Mirren have had to even get that second goal will frustrate Stephen Robinson. By all accounts, have done pretty well. And that's what you get when you've got a team in the top six, pretty relaxed.
I think it'll really annoy Stephen Robinson if it is off, because it's not on Declan John, it's from the ball across. So Conor McMenamin probably doesn't need to be offside. It's quite a simple ball across and he can just tap it in. But he might have just strayed too far forward. But the goal stands.
Oh, there
St.
you
Mirren
go.
2, Rangers 2.
And that's what I'm saying about whoever comes in there needs to address the situation at the back for Rangers. That's 20 goals in 11 games now.
Yeah.
And they give up so, so many chances.
I've always thought that Ibrox next weekend will, of course, be what Ibrox should look like and sound like when Celtic arrive. But I've always thought that the game before it and the games after it would be a different story for Rangers. They have to get worked up about Celtic because that's the nature of life in Glasgow. But today shows that they're in a lackadaisical frame of mind while Brendan Rodgers is talking about mentality.
I know it's not all about this and there are various reasons for doing it, but is there an issue there, Gordon, that the theme of Barry Ferguson's reign has been a back three, back five? Is that not supposed to make you more solid at the back,
yeah,
first and foremost?
Yeah, and that's why he goes with the extra defender. He knew that St Mirren would go with two up top, be a handful, and he thought, right, okay, I'll go with the back five or the three plus the two wing backs. But it doesn't matter if it's a four or it's a five. They just, I don't think they're good enough at the back. I think they will always give you up plenty of chances.
Cherney came on for Dessers, by the way.
Well, obviously Dessers getting his goal this afternoon. That's his race run. He'll be happy with the goal, but obviously maybe Barry's looking for a little bit something different in the closing, 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
I think you wouldn't be surprised if St Mirren actually went on and won that in the balance of play, and what we're hearing, that they've been pretty decent. Two goals, the miss in the first half, the sitter in the second half. Okay, Rangers have had a few opportunities as well, but it's been pretty positive from a St Mirren point of view. A great game for Andrew to watch.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. You suspect there could be more goals in this one, but as it stands, it's St Mirren 2, Rangers 2. St Johnstone are pushing hard for an equaliser. The game's in Motherwell's half and they cannot get out, so they're 3-2 up. That'll be very nervous. Raskin's fouled Gogic and the St Mirren players are screaming for a second yellow. It will not be given, and of course VAR can't do anything about it. But you wonder if Barry Ferguson takes him off
just in case next weekend.
Yeah, they need him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He was instrumental in their win at Celtic Park.
He's also a very, what's the phrase I'm looking for, sort of all out manager though, isn't he? Kind of gung ho, is that the right, you know, you can almost imagine that not being his style. Just, you know, go for it, take the risk.
Yeah,
leave him on.
Yeah, you've got to sometimes trust in the player. But I think with the importance, and if you're Barry Ferguson, importance of next week and the important sort of a player he is in the middle of that park, I would be probably saying, right, okay, whether you think or not you got away with one, I would be sitting saying I'm making that substitution.
Do you take him off? Yeah,
yeah, 100%.
Because if he doesn't do it,
yeah,
and there is another
heck of a backfire,
then,
isn't it?
Then you, everyone's entitled to look at you and say, why didn't you take him off?
Well, Conor Barron's getting instructions from Barry Ferguson, so it might well be that is the case. Dundee are pushing now at Tynecastle again, and there are lots of boos. There are some fans in and around David Freeland, that main stand, are losing their rag. They're screaming at Neil Critchley.
Well, this doesn't end well. I'm not talking about today's game. I'm talking about the general situation. It has a bad look and feel about it all. And, you know, Hearts can't be in that kind of predicament. Too big a club. Something's not right.
It's problematic, isn't it? Mark, because I, not that MD cares what I think, but just to make my point here, I'm not necessarily sure that it's definitely the right thing to sack Neil Critchley. I just don't really get it, where we constantly sack managers, yeah. And like we said, he hasn't done terribly, the points and all that. But what it does do is it makes you go forward with no goodwill in the tank.
Yeah, and that's the problem, because, you know, at the start of the season, there has to be optimism in your team. You have to have a good feeling behind you getting into pre-season, and then your first few league games, he's starting behind if he remains in charge.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
How big could this be? Aberdeen 1, Hibs 0, and it is a sensational finish from Kevin Nisbet into the top corner. That is not what the form table suggested. Hibs have been flawless for months, and they've fallen behind to a former Hibs striker in Kevin Nisbet with 10 minutes to go. What a finish.
I suppose you have to say, well, these things happen. Aberdeen are the Scottish Cup finalists. They're on the rebound from the win over Hearts last weekend. Hibs 17 in a row without defeat. It was bound to end one day. This could be the day.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. You know, you're getting such a good run that you don't want to be negative, but it does have to come to an end, and just at the wrong time, because that's a huge game. David Gray would have taken a point and down the road back to Edinburgh, but it looks like it's going to be Jimmy Thielen's day.
Yeah, big result. Nisbet, he's back in form, back scoring goals. Obviously, the boost getting into the Scotland squad as well. So he's a big, big player for him, and he'll be a big player in the cup final.
Apologise for the celebration. What do you think? Does he giving it the Andy Halliday?
He's not doing that, is he?
No, no chance.
They all do it now.
Do they?
So.
Yeah. The AFC will not allow that.
They'll do it.
Give us a break.
No, I would.
You've done your time for Hibs.
Exactly.
He's not a Hibs fan, is he?
He's also only on loan at Aberdeen, though.
Maybe looking for a move back to Hibs. I'd be apologising.
Yeah. Depends on the wages.
Tony Watt and Andy Halliday off. Moses Ibiye and Davor Zrakowski coming on for Motherwell as they look to see this one out.
I think it's about now it'll be going through the players' minds. 10 minutes.
Player of the year
dance. Come on, just get over the line.
It's funny because we said before the game a point probably secures safety for Motherwell, Gordon. But I don't think a point, if you were 3-1 up, feels so good.
No, and at home as well, against the bottom of the table. You're expected to go out, especially the timing of the goal, setting half right away. They get that 3-1 comfortable lead. I'm sure everybody at Fir Park, Motherwell minded, would have expected them to kick on and win that game comfortably.
Well, still 3-2 up, but 8 minutes to go of the 90, and then we'll see what else happens. Hugh, your teaser, please, if you can.
Okay. I have played alongside Gylfi Sigurdsson and Ollie Burke. I've been managed by Ralph Rangnick. I played in three countries, including Scotland, and appeared for my country. Who am I?
Thomas Patterson says Johnny Russell.
No.
He just got a move, didn't he? Did you see that?
Did he?
Was it Real Salt Lake, I think?
Yeah,
he was one of the MLS sides. Yeah. I have to stick up for people across the country, though, because they tweeted to say that a Highlander had joined them. Johnny Russell's not Highlander,
from
is he?
Coatbridge.
Coatbridge. Are we just all Highlanders in the eyes of Americans?
Yeah, we all wear kilts, chase the haggis.
Anyway, Alan Lappin thinks it could be Joe Inge Berget. Remember him?
Remember him? Yeah. Aye.
I think I've got it, mate.
Right, go for it. Give us it.
Write it down, please.
And redeem yourself for spitting coffee everywhere.
Yes. No? Yeah. Yeah, you've got it. I can see your page. Well done.
Now, I may have got that.
I'll tell you what. How did he get that?
Hugh, remember what the bet I made with you earlier on?
Yeah.
I didn't want to reveal it because I then thought it would be obvious and people would check Twitter. People got that within a minute and a half.
Yeah.
That's honestly, our listeners, the knowledge they possess is incredible. They know their football inside out.
Did you say he's played for his country?
Yeah. He has. Can you believe it?
Where was my caps?
Did you say he played in Scotland?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a VAR check for a St Johnstone penalty.
Stress over the other side of the desk.
Ref gave Motherwell a free kick and booked Ikpiazu for simulation. Fraser's initial view is it didn't look like a penalty, but it didn't look like a dive. So, you know, VAR wouldn't take the booking away or anything in terms of if it wasn't a penalty. No penalty. So Motherwell still 3-2 in front. So Conor Barron's come on. Not for Nicholas Raskin.
Oh, right. Okay, interesting.
For Bailey Rice. I told you, I just feel like, I'm not saying it's right, it feels like a very Barry Ferguson thing to do, to sort of just say, you've made your own bed.
Yeah.
Go and deal with this, don't get sent off. And we'll see if that works out or not in the next 10 minutes.
I think Hugh's right. I think he, like, I'm all for it. You've got to trust your players. Yeah. But if this goes wrong for him, they start to question his decision making.
Yeah.
You know, I think you should have went with the safety card and says, do you know what? We're 2-2. It's a difficult game. Get him off and get him prepared for next week.
You get 10 minutes to go, though. You've got an international footballer in a game that, with the best will in the world, I know they're trying to win it, but you know, you're on a cup final here. You're on a scrap for your life. Can you trust him to just not commit a foul in 10 minutes? You know, don't dangle a leg anywhere. Yeah. Don't even challenge, and don't challenge aerially. Do you know what I mean?
You've just came up with an invention there. The safety card. Imagine you had a safety card on the bench for this occasion, and you could present it to wipe away a yellow card for one of your players. I'm going to play my safety card.
My safety card.
And there you are, Raskin. You've got the safety card, so you could get another booting.
Would you make that substitution?
I would have played my safety card last night in 32 minutes to Stuart Bannigan.
Right now, would you have played safety card?
I would have taken them off.
Yeah.
Game next week's too important.
Yeah, 100% for me. But look, at the end of the day, if he doesn't get booked,
does it affect your thought process that we're now in 10 minutes left? You know, they're not 40 minutes here where he might have to make 10 minutes. Just don't tackle MD. Don't challenge anyone. Can they not manage that?
Well, as the song says, it only takes a second.
What song is that again?
It only takes a second, love.
It only takes a second. Is not a
minute. It only takes a minute. Then there you go.
You're breaching Gary Barlow's copyright here.
I'm not good at songs.
Nadine Brahmi has come on next for Clinton and Siala.
Well, it shows me that Barry Ferguson has desperately tried to get a win here, because at the end of a week in which Celtic become champions and you have to play them next week, and you have said you'll make Rangers a better club, a 2-2 draw is not the best look. A win is a better look. Not stunning because of the way in which you have achieved the win, but it's better than 2-2.
I don't think they ever finished the game with the same formation, do they? They chop and change are quite a lot. I know the modern day game does happen, but I think they'll be going to a back four now. You know, bringing on another attacking player. They start with a three. I thought that he got it wrong in Europe when, you know, he went to a diamond at one point. And I thought Rangers with the four in the middle of the park looked okay. But he went with a diamond. They changed it. They're not frightened to change personnel, and they're certainly not frightened to change, obviously, the shape of the team. You just wonder, will it work?
Lots of anger at Tynecastle. Forrester fires miles over the bar, not particularly close to getting an equaliser, and the Hearts fans are furious.
Hard place to play now for the Hearts players.
Yeah.
Toxic environment.
And I go back to the as it stands table. You know, they've got four games left. They're not winning matches. They're not scoring goals. And I don't think that you can exclude them from talk about the playoffs.
I think, Hugh, it's just the 40 points is too many, though, for the number of teams that are below you. No, I mean, not officially, I would take your point, but how could they all realistically pass you? Because they need to play each other.
Yeah.
You know? But listen, that doesn't mean the Hearts fans are going to be happy just to avoid relegation. So I would take your general point on their mood for sure. I don't think they'll be impressed whatsoever. 89 played there in that one at Tynecastle, so we're nearly there. And they've really not offered much at all, did they?
No, and that would be the disappointing thing. I think everybody fancied Hearts, but all credit to Dundee. They're hanging in there. That's a valuable 3 points for them. Gives them a little bit of breathing space. And I know what Hugh's saying about Hearts sitting there in 40. I'm with you, Gordon. I think there are too many teams below. But You're looking at Ross
because
County.
As it stands, so County,
County will not make up 5 points,
and they've got the goal difference. So County need from today on, County need to outperform Hearts by 6 points at the same time as Dundee and Kilmarnock outperform Hearts.
Yeah,
by, you know, Killie are two behind them currently as things stand, and Dundee are three behind them.
It's not happening.
I think it's just too many teams.
Yeah, 40 points secures you. There's no doubt. Ross County, I think, now are in deep, deep trouble. I don't even know who their next game is.
We won it at bottom six.
Oh, I know that, but we've got to take
and
a
it won't be Kilmarnock.
Yeah,
and narrows it down.
And I can tell you, it's not Motherwell. I don't think. Is that not the last day of the season?
St Johnson.
Don't tell me.
5 minutes added on for Dave Galloway at Pittodrie, where Aberdeen lead by a goal to nil. What a massive, massive result that could be at the top, because it would make them level on points. Hibs would have a superior goal difference, but it might make them level. Well, it will make them level on points. It's County Hearts next week.
Yeah, I see that.
Well, would you fancy Hearts at the present time to go to Dingwall and win?
No.
And then that would be the 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other teams have still got to.
That's what I'm saying. It's number of teams. It's not their, it's not the points gap. It's the number of teams that all need to make it up.
Yeah.
Six added for David Freeland that game at Tynecastle. Can they salvage something? Corner Rangers. It was Cherney with a powerful shot that Hemming pushed away.
Hearts will be fine, but it's the manner even of this result. The disappointment at the semi-final and the bottom six, but then to kick off the bottom six with a home defeat again against Dundee, who are sitting second bottom, who everybody scores against Dundee. I mean, they've lost 71 goals this season and you can't break them down at Tynecastle. That's where the bad feeling towards Neil Critchley and the team is at the minute, and that's what makes it incredibly difficult in the summer. But I still believe he should be given time. He's had one window. He took over Stephen Naismith's squad, so he's not had a lot to work with.
You can't keep just sacking managers. I know he's under severe pressure. And
possible Rangers penalty. Varchek handball,
handball
very quickly not given. Move on as you were. I think you should bring in a rule that every manager, to stop this all getting out of control, you can't sack a manager if he's not had a transfer, if he's not had a pre-season. Would you like to see that protect your industry?
No.
I mean, it's completely impossible to enforce, probably, and I've dreamt it up off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But it just feels like, do you know what I mean? It feels like it's all getting a bit mad.
I wouldn't sack a manager unless he had two transfer windows.
Well, it's kind of the same thing then, almost.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you have two, you'll have had a pre-season, no?
No,
I guess my calendar broken.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to work that one out. Aye, so you I'm trying to think. Well, if he gets in, in November, yeah, he's getting a transfer. It's January, yeah, okay. Well done. I'm going with your suggestion.
Because actually, Fraser Wishart sent me an interesting piece of research during the week, which we can elaborate on, you know, one night when we've got a bit of time. And Scotland actually not doing so bad, but it was a kind of league table of when all the clubs get rid of managers and just how quick it is. So the, every club in Ecuador, every single club sacked their manager within a year. Every one of them.
How many clubs are there?
And Serie A is obviously better established, no offence, than Ecuador. They weren't actually far behind that. Every manager nearly within a year. That cannot be sustainable, I don't think. But whether you bring in, I don't know, some sort of made up guideline, who knows. Right, Hugh, are you ready for this?
I am.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Gylfi Sigurdsson and Ollie Burke. I've been managed by Ralph Ranick. I've played in three countries, including Scotland, and appear from my country. I'm Marvin Compere.
Marvin Compere, remember him. Well done to Will M98, who was third place. Second place was Cookie. And the first place, Hugh, I promised you, 1:17.
Wow.
Scott,
wow.
Connie.
I can't believe he says he played in Scott. Was it Morton he lasted?
Played one game, didn't he? 38 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, against Morton at Celtic Park, and that was
career over.
Is there ever a sign of how desperate Hearts are? The 42-year-old goalie's up for a corner in a bottom six game that's getting not that much riding on it. It shows you how negative the feeling is and how desperate they are to turn it around. But it has been cleared. Corner Rangers pretty much the last chance. You would say there were 6 minutes added. We're about five into that. There might be more because there have been stoppages within the 6 minutes. And as I bore you with every week, it's worth remembering it's a minimum that gets added on and does account for further stoppages. So we'll see if anything happens. It would be late drama. I'm not sure if Rangers keep managing this because they've had a few late shows in their time. Craig Gordon's up again. He'll be knackered. The man of his age.
He'll be in bed early tonight.
You don't want to be going up for corners at 42,
no,
do you?
And then having to sprint back if Dundee get the ball.
He commits a foul on Trevor Carson. Something about that that subtly hints at what type of day it is for Hearts.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Fate is telling you something.
Yeah, not a vintage afternoon, and I'd be very keen to hear the reaction. The ball ends up in the net, actually, but the free kick had been given. The full-time whistles are starting to go. I'm just going to pause just in case to see if we can get to Hearts or Paisley first to check in on the booing, if there is any. I don't know if Rangers fans have got any left in them, do they? Do they care? It's full time at Rugby Park as well. I might have this taken away from me. Might have to start going around the grounds. Just wanted to try and get the angry reaction from various venues if we can. But I don't think we're going to get any late drama now, are we? Still for Park, perhaps? Is there an equaliser in there for St Johnstone?
No, I think Motherwell will see that out. I really do. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's full time for Park as well. It's all the venues that don't have any rage, right? I think we'll just need to nip it in the bud and we'll get back to it. We can ask the guys. Dave Galloway was first, full time Pittodrie.
Yeah, full time Aberdeen 1 Hibs 0. The first half was lively from the word go. The host started brightly, but Boyle went close for the visitors, shooting low and hard from the edge of the box. It went just wide in the end. Campbell should have done better after Obita's free kick to the back post. Heading narrowly past, he really should have hit the target. At the other end, Bushiri with two great blocks to deal with shots by Gay and Keskinen as Aberdeen pushed for the opener. The Dons starting to get on top. Nisbet turns neatly in the box, but his shot didn't trouble Smith. However, Hibs had a goal disallowed after 42 minutes from a corner kick. The ball went over the line off Knuster. It would have been an OG, but it was ruled out for a foul on Mito. Plenty openings, but sharpness lacking in both boxes in that first half. Hibs made a pretty decent start to the second period. Campbell's header from Chris Cadden's cross wasn't far away, but the visitors looked content to knock the ball about, with Aberdeen at this stage offering little threat. Bushiri passed up a golden chance to put Hibs ahead, but headed Obita's corner over. A facepalm moment there for him. Nisbet netted for the Dons with a fine finish high into the net from Ockle's cutback, but the celebrations were very quickly cut short when the flag went up for offside. There was a real lack of creativity from both teams in that second half. The game was crying out for some quality, and boy, didn't we get it on 80 minutes with Aberdeen going ahead with a quite sensational strike from Nisbet. Shinney's cross was headed clear, and Nisbet on the edge of the box controlled the ball on his chest before firing a magnificent effort over Smith and into the top corner of the net. And it was so close to 2-0 when Dabag burst through the middle. His shot was brilliantly turned around the post by Smith, who also did superbly to keep out McGrath's effort. So Aberdeen end Hibs' record equaling unbeaten league run to draw level on points with them in third place. It's finished. Aberdeen 1 Hibs 0.
Finished in Paisley as well, Andrew McLean.
St Mirren 2, Rangers 2, the full-time score. Barry Ferguson wanted 5 wins from 5 post-split, but his team have fallen at the first hurdle. A game of plenty of drama and entertainment, but one that will leave the Rangers interim boss frustrated. Another big one for the buddies, who take points off of Rangers once again. Both sides were lacking quality in that first half. Cyril Dessers blazing a shot over the bar from a good area in the box, and Mikael Mandron at the other end couldn't find the target after being gifted a good chance by Liam Kelly. Both sides got a goal goal before the break, though. Nicholas Raskin finding Dessers just inside the St Mirren box. The ball was kind of under his feet a wee bit, but he got a good low shot away past Hemming for the opener. The Buddies responded almost instantly, though. A long throw into the box falling to Mark O'Hara, and he drilled it past Liam Kelly for the leveller. But Rangers got back ahead pretty quickly after the break. Nicholas Raskin driving towards the St Mirren box. He had a low left-footed shot that went into the corner past Hemming for 2-1. But St Mirren were never going to give this up, and they were going to keep on battling. They made their changes and they got that equaliser. Declan John with a low ball across the face of goal, and substitute Conor McMenamin got on the end of it, sliding in to get that goal and grab the hosts a point and make it three games unbeaten against Rangers. The full-time score in Paisley: St Mirren 2, Rangers 2.
Well, Rangers fans, it's another game without a victory. Do you have any frustration and anger left? Give us a call right now, please, and let us know. It's finished at Tynecastle. I think they've got some anger left, David Friel.
A fair bit of anger left, Gordon. Full-time Hearts nil, Dundee 1. We expected drama. What a huge win for Dundee. What a bad day for Hearts. Neil Critchley's just walked up the tunnel maybe a minute or so ago, head bowed, and no wonder the punters are lining up to give him abuse. They are not happy with their team. They're not happy with their manager. He is under serious pressure. But let's give Dundee huge credit. Massive win in the context of their season. Simon Murray was a hero again. 22nd goal of the season. Piling on the agony for Hearts. Tony Docherty's side move up to 10th, out of the playoff spot. They've surely removed any kind of lingering fear of automatic relegation. They were outstanding to a man, but clearly so much of the fallout from this game will be about Hearts, and just yet another nightmare day for Critchley and his players. The home fans had turned long before the end, and it's fair to say the manager is now facing serious questions. Both sides, good chances in the first half. George Grant was denied by a Trevor Carson wonder save. He made a mess of a chance from close range too. Seb Palmer holding, he should have scored from 6 yards. Simple header, put it wide, but Dundee can always rely on Simon Murray, and he claimed the opener in 38 minutes. Scott Tiffany's cross, half cleared by Jamie McCart. Ball fell to Murray and he fired past Craig Gordon. Hearts were out early for the second half. Neil Critchley clearly had words to say. He also made a string of changes, but Dundee defended really, really well, and he always carried a threat on the break. Hearts had some half chances. Elton Kabangu, Cammy Devlin sent efforts wide, but Trevor Carson wasn't really worked until the end when he made a superb stop from Kenny Vargas. Craig Gordon came up for two corners towards the end. That showed you how desperate Hearts were. He challenged Trevor Carson, a foul was given against him, the ball ended up in the net. Craig Gordon not happy about it. It was a quick VAR check, but the goal did not stand. So overall, a huge win for Tony Docherty, but Neil Critchley and Hearts under major pressure now full time. Hearts nil, Dundee 1.
What about Fir Park, Fraser Wishart?
Yeah, a day of contrasting emotions, fluctuating emotions for the Motherwell fans. Gordon, it ended Motherwell 3, St Johnstone 2, but they were worried early on when they were behind to McKenzie Cut goal. Feeling comfortable with goals just either side of the break from Slattery, Katrumbas and Sparrow, but then they were back to worry towards the end. The Elliot Watt goal gave St Johnstone hope, but Motherwell managed to see the game out. Motherwell had a half-time lead, but they fell behind after 6 minutes. Josh McPake did really well on the left-hand side, used his pace. Looked like the ball might be going out, but he slid in to cut the ball back. And then in came Mackenzie Kirk, arriving late, 12 yards out. Power, the side foot shot, brilliant finish into top right hand corner. Motherwell struggled to create much until the 39th minute. Tony Watt on the left hand side cut the ball back, and Callum Slattery, the first time low shot past the goalkeeper. Real power with his side foot shot from about 16 yards. 90 seconds later, it was 2-1 to the home side. Watt again involved, he drifted onto the ball on the left, outside of his right foot with a cross, right across 6 yard box. Johnny Katrumbas, the centre back, came in at the back post and scored off defender Sven Sprangler. Some people were giving the ball to, sorry, the goal to the St Johnston captain because Katrumbas miscued it. But whatever happens, it was 2-1 to Motherwell at the break. 48 minutes, Motherwell did get the cushion they wanted. It was 3-1. Dominic Thompson did really well on the left-hand side. He was fouled, but a good advantage by Stephen McLean allowed Thompson to get up, and his low cross was turned home by Sparrow 6 yards out. A real sense of relief around Fir Park. Simo Vallecari reacted. He brought on Ekpiazu and Watt, and he got a reaction from both almost immediately. A big striker almost scored. He got a touch to McPake, knocked down, but smothered by Balcombe. Tony Watt, again, he's enjoying himself playing up front on the left hand side. He lifted the ball to the back post. Sparrow got a really good header, but unfortunately for him, it was straight at Fisher. And then 66 minutes, the game swung to the other end, and a bit of life to St Johnstone. Elliot Watt gave them a real lifeline with an excellent strike from 25 yards low into the keeper's right hand corner, right into the corner. No chance for Balcombe. Then the nerves returned for the Motherwell fans. St Johnstone got a real lift from the goal. McPake shot took a deflection, it looped onto the top of the net. Some fans thinking the ball was into the back of the net. A rare 40 into St Johnstone box. Tony Watt brought a good save from Fisher, and the tie crazily hard as they did, they just couldn't test Balcombe enough. The St Johnstone players, and deep into stoppage time, 96 minutes, Ek Piazu got his head to a ball at the back post, but it went a yard wide, and that was the last hurrah for St Johnstone. They feel, I think, there's an opportunity missed. There was times when they played really well in this game, but it now looks bleak for them. But 3 points should mean that Motherwell will not be in the playoffs this season. Full time at Fir Park, Motherwell 3, St Johnstone 2.
Let's speak to Roger Hannah, who watched Killy Ross County.
Yeah, Kilmarnock 2, Ross County 0. Gordon Killy have eased their relegation worries, but the Staggies have dropped into the Premiership's bottom two tonight. Bruce Anderson with a first half header, Liam Donnelly a second half shot. Killy, the outstanding player in the pitch, and Danny Armstrong, and it was a deserved victory for Derek McInnes' side after three league defeats to County this season. They even recovered from the loss of captain Brad Lyons to injury in the warm up. The opener 36 minutes, Armstrong's cross deep to the back post. Anderson wanted it more than anyone in a red County shirt and boomed his header, squeezing it in past Jordan Amis at the near post. Killy looked set for a second goal early in the second half, but they had to wait until 69 minutes when it finally arrived. A low shot by Northern Ireland cap Donnelly after the ball fell kindly to him in the box. They're now 9 clear of St Johnstone, 3 ahead of County with a superior goal difference. County must have just one effort on target in 90 minutes. That was late on and easily saved by Killy keeper Kieran O'Hara. That's now 5 straight defeats for Don Cowie's men. They're badly out of form at the wrong time of the season. They've got Hearts in the Highlands next week, but they might need yet another playoff to spare them in the Premiership once more. Kilmarnock 2, Ross County 0.
And now it's over to you. What have you made of today's football? 01419511025. Celtic fans, you are champions again. You'll be used to this feeling, but talk to us specifically about this one. What about the way you got over the line? Yet another devastating attacking display at times. A 5-0 win away to Dundee United. What pleased you about the performance today, the game itself, and of course overall then? How does it feel to have won the league again? What's been special about this one? What were the standout moments, etc, etc? Give us a call right now and we'll take your calls as soon as we can. In terms of the 3 o'clock games, Rangers fans, try and sum up how desperate you are for this season to end, because it is yet another game against St Mirren without a victory. Is a 2-2 draw on the day. What is happening? What needs to happen from here? What did you make of it today? Give us a call. Huge wins for Kilmarnock, for Motherwell, for Aberdeen. Hearts fans, what about you though? Boos, abuse towards Neil Critchley. How are you feeling? We'll do the lot. We'll do as much as we can if you give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025.
After the action, it's your reaction. 141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
What a busy day across Scottish football. The Premiership title race looked over a long time ago, but it was officially ended today, and well done to Celtic. So Celtic fans, how do you look back on it all? The game today in isolation, the performances, the goals, and of course the bigger picture. Yet another title. What's been good about this one? How do you feel your dominance looks overall? What does this mean for the team, for Brendan Rodgers, for these players, etc.? Give us a call right now, please, on 01419511025. That's the positivity. There's always room for a bit of negativity. And of course, that would imply that Hearts fans would be the ones we're looking to speak to. Rangers fans, Hugh, because it's been a good day for some and a bad day for others.
Well, for the Rangers fans, it's been an uneventful day. Celtic have won the title, but their team have flitted in and out of the game against St Mirren. It finished a 2-2 draw. The consequence of the 2-2 draw is that should Celtic go to Ibrox next weekend and win, Celtic would go 20 points ahead of Rangers. Now that's a kind of symbolic moment. Celtic are already the champions. I understand that. But when you go 20 points ahead of Rangers, that's a moment to pause for reflection and establish how great the gap is between these two clubs.
And away from that, Mark, some set of results elsewhere.
Well, a terrific result for Aberdeen, because that was the big one in the race for third place. And Jimmy Thielen's side have been on a roller coaster of a season. At one stage, it looked like they were up there challenging and then were going to be nailed on for third. Then it looked like they couldn't win a game. But when it came down to the big one today, they've managed to get the job done. So that puts him in a good position. And for Motherwell, you know, to go behind and then claw it back and end up with 3 points, they are secure. So a good afternoon for them.
Not so good if you're a St Johnstone fan, travelling back up to Perth after watching your side
basically they get relegated. That's well and truly gone now. I agree with Mark. The big results were obviously St Mirren once again, a thorn in Rangers' side. You've got Aberdeen, that's a great victory for them. That puts a bit of pressure on Hibs as well. And obviously the game at the beginning of the programme, Celtic, really on fire today, cruised by Dundee United.
Thomas is first through on the phones. How are you, Thomas?
I'm fine, I'm happy, aye.
I'll bet you are. What jumps out then? What's the main emotion on the day that your team wins another title?
I'm over the moon. I did think we would win, but I didn't think we would win 5-0, to be honest with you. But I heard you saying about Celtic fans winning in the league, but I think it's just as important about my manager and what my manager says after the game today. So many people in Scotland are desperate to push him out of the league, desperate to get him away from Celtic. And what he said today is confirmed. He ain't going anywhere in a hurry. He'll need to be pushed out of Celtic. So I think this is just the start of something for Celtic. I don't think this is this is Rodgers wrapped it and got another league and he's off again. I think he actually seen the progress of this year in the league and in Europe. And I think the board would have seen that and they'll back him.
It's been interesting, I've got to say, the last few months. People deciding where I was supposed to be going and I wasn't happy. But what I can tell you, I would say, listen to what I say, not what people try to anticipate my mood and what I might be. I can tell you, I said 150%, 200%, I'll be here for sure and next season, because we want to build again and we want to grow. But what I'll also say, there's very, very few people that know me, and there's even less understand me. So that's a really, really small group of people. So when I see all the headlines and all the... I don't have an agent, so I don't have an agent spinning a story for me or anything like that. It's just a guess. So if there's a headline out there, I am telling you, and you guys, it's a guess. Because I have hardly anyone who knows what I think and actually understands how I work. But so, so happy. I came back because of the professional challenge of Celtic, knowing the pressures. My emotional attachment to the club clearly has me here rather than be elsewhere. And just the chance to be the most, you know, to be the best manager of Celtic that I can possibly be. And days like today makes it really special.
So that's music to your ears then, Thomas?
Definitely. I think it's a calm start. I don't know what percentage of Celtic fans really believed they would go. Personally, I didn't think there was a chance he would go. And I do think he loves the club, but I do think it's as much about hurting his family too. I think it devastated his family, and I think that hurt him just as much.
It's a great line, that, Hugh. There are few people that know me, and even fewer that understand me.
Yeah.
That's a bit like you. I can see you coming out with something like that.
That's philosophy gone mad. But I could truthfully say that I have never done anything other than offer the opinion that Brendan Rodgers is synonymous with success at Celtic and will continue to be successful with Celtic for as long as he cares to stay. And I've never deviated from my belief that he's the most important man at the club. And I began this programme 6 hours or 5 hours ago by saying that he was on the road to managerial immortality if he wins the treble this season, because no Celtic manager in the club's history has ever won 3 trebles. And last night on the programme, when I said to you, Jock Stein, immortal, the number one Celtic manager, that will never, ever change. But for me, Brendan Rodgers is number two.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, I think Thomas makes quite a good point, because there's the league is won, obviously, which we sort of known for a while, but it was done in style. There's also a League Cup already there, a Scottish Cup possibly to be added, and for the first time in a long time, it doesn't even come with that caveat of, but you know, found out in Europe, or Europe should have been so much better. There is none of that this season.
No, I think he learned his lesson. When he came back up, I thought his preparation for the close season. You know, he goes over to America pre-season, takes on the big boys. Yes, the squad wasn't as strong, but they started off where they meant to be, Gordon. Their European campaign was very good. Their league form has been good. They've built a good squad. Look, he's made big decisions. He's really, you know, asked his players to step up, and they've certainly done that in the last few weeks. They're deserved champions. You would back them all the way to going out to a treble because they're going back to Hampden, where Brendan Rodgers has never lost. And most of the Celtic players feel that that's their second home. So it's great news for everyone concerned because, look, he will be targeted by clubs. And, you know, because his reputation up here. I know he had a go down at Leicester, and I thought he was successful at Leicester, obviously. But
certainly, initially.
Yeah, initially, yes. But I just think that it's music to the Celtic fans here, especially in a day that they clinch the title.
Let's thank Thomas for his thoughts and move to Fraser on the other line. How would you sum up your feelings today, Fraser?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. So, yeah, first of all, I just want to say that in my lifetime watching Celtic, I'm in my 20s, so I haven't so much into Martin O'Neill's time before that. But from what I saw, this has become the normality. It almost feels numb in the sense that you don't appreciate it in the way that other teams might do. But looking at the performance today and seeing what happened in the pitch is an incredible achievement to have lost the title back in 2021. I feared that we might be reaching a point where it went back to sort of equal balance where both teams won it season about. But to respond to that by winning four titles in a row and two trebles in that time, to reaffirm that dominance, it's just not normal. You don't see it in other countries with dominant teams like an Ajax or a Benfica. It's so particular to Celtic that it's something to be really proud of, and anything the club can do to keep Brendan Rodgers, not just next season, but beyond that is absolutely critical, because I don't want to talk about Rangers, but if you look at the takeover and what's coming up there, I think you'll fancy the challenge of whoever they might bring in and seeing what that brings next season. That might give an edge to it for him that he wants to challenge himself with. So massive credit to the team. It was a brilliant performance. They've really picked it back up in the last few weeks. And just look to see what they can do now with the cup final in a few weeks' time.
So fair point Fraser makes. Fraser's a young man. I don't know exactly what year he was born to, but if you go that 2000-2001, so yeah, turn of the century, whatever, 19 titles for Celtic in that time. 19 out of 25 or whatever it is. If you are that age, if you're of that generation, or even if you're a bit older, it's just been verging on constant since then.
It's now reached a stage where I read Callum McGregor in the week saying that if Celtic don't win a treble, people think it's a bad season. You know, if you only win two out of the three. Of course, life is not like that, but Brendan Rodgers is beginning to make it look like that, and that's why he's so important to Celtic. And today, four in a row. I would also take you back to the day that Ange Postecoglou came in. They went to Hearts at Tynecastle on the Saturday evening. They lost 2-1 there, and that was on the back of the season that was supposed to bring 10 titles in a row falling apart on Celtic. So Ange Postecoglou deserves his share of the credit for establishing the base from which Brendan Rodgers took over and got another two titles. Ange got two, Brendan's now got two. And I never forget that Brendan Rodgers came back with people saying we don't want him back. Now, you'll never ever find someone coming onto this programme now and repeating those words, but plenty were willing to do so when Brendan Rodgers came back, and he has shown himself to have risen above all of that and to have delivered two titles, improved Celtic in Europe, and now seems to have the bit between his teeth to go a step further next season as well. And the summertime talks with Dermot Desmond, I think, should be partly devoted to getting Brendan Rodgers to sign a contract extension.
Yeah, I think that's what all Celtic fans want. I think Hugh makes a great point that he came back under the circumstances that a lot of people called this show and were outraged with the fact that he had come back because of what happened when he left for Leicester. But there'll not be one Celtic fan now even talking about that. It's all about the future. And I think it was Fraser that says, the takeover from Rangers, I think that would excite Brendan Rodgers. He needs competition. He's a top football manager, top coach. He wants competition, and I think he'll thrive in that. And that's why I think today he's saying, look, they're 200%. I will still be at Celtic Football Club next season, and I think that's good news for everyone.
He said that on day one when he came in, and I remember people saying, well, I don't trust him one bit. He says, I will be here in 3 years' time, and he's true to his word. But he also has to back that up by winning games and winning trophies. So that was a hard thing to do. Win over the trust again of the Celtic fans, but do it by being a successful team that are good to watch. And that's the difference. You know, you can't just be a successful team at Celtic. You have to do it in style. Hughes mentioned that several times today. Now, not every game is going to be won like that, but the majority have been. That's what makes him an elite manager. And we said on the show, I remember saying that he was an elite manager coming back to Celtic. People said, no, he wasn't, because he failed down south. I don't think he did fail down south. I know he lost his job, but name a manager who hasn't lost his job.
He won an FA Cup and 2 5th place finishes, didn't he?
Unbelievable.
There's got to be degrees for a smaller of club success and failure.
Yeah, so there's no doubt he's a elite manager, but it's Europe, he wanted to make his mark. And I certainly think he's progressed. Well, he certainly has progressed Celtic. They get out the new Champions League format group, they get into a big tie, and they give a good account of themselves. He'll be looking to take that one step forward again next season.
Thank you to Fraser, who makes some good points. Plenty more time to air yours when we return.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson are here. Lots of compliments coming into Celtic, understandably, on the day they win the title. I'm sure we will take many more, and we'll try and hear from managers as well. So there's a lot to squeeze in between now and 6 o'clock. So let's crack on with Mark, who's in Giffnock. How are you, Mark?
Good evening, pal. How are we?
Good, thank you. Good. What did you witness in Paisley?
Obviously, I've been on the show for 25 years. Unfortunately, I've witnessed Celtic win a lot of trophies, as well as Rangers over the years. But this has got a different feel to it. If I was just disappointed that Celtic are having a party, then fair enough, that's normal, that's what you call Glasgow. But this is very different, and what I've witnessed coming out of the game today at St Mirren is the word to sum up Rangers this season, and right now, is disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful. 3 games to St Mirren, they've got one, they've lost 2 of them today. Well, they didn't lose, but it feels like a lot. Disgraceful. The attitude of the players, honestly, Ferguson, not a chance of staying on now. The next 4 games are a busted flush. And I include, for the first time, I never thought I'd say this, because a Rangers-Celtic game, it always means something. But honestly, now, to the Celtic supporter, it will mean something. But this is the season's done now for Rangers. So the next 4 games are a total waste of time. Total waste of time from Rangers' point of view. Ferguson's got no chance, not even staying on as a coach. Absolutely no chance. Press conference yesterday talking about, I want them to get 15 points. They can't get a point. You struggle to get a point against St Mirren. So his chances now have, but there wasn't a chance anyway, but that's done. The players, the attitude, the captain, he's been there 10 years, Tavernier. Listen, he cost £200,000. You can't say anything about the guy. He's got a good attitude. He's a professional footballer. He tries, he cares, but he's not good enough, and he's not been good enough for years as a captain. And they're about to announce a testimonial for him next week. Forget that. Don't even insult us by announcing that. Let him just go to the door and thank you for your time, Tav. So that can be put to bed. But another point, and listen, this isn't speculation. There's a shisha bar on the south side of Glasgow that I'm smoking shisha in, which is perfectly legal. They're a lovely, lovely bar. I get on well with them all. Bajrami, one of the Rangers players, in there 3 times a week, smoking a shisha, relaxing when he's off. He's not breaking any laws. He's in there smoking, chilling out. I know guys spending £15,000 businesses on Rangers every year, and that's the attitude of the current mob of players in smoking shisha in a shisha lounge on the south side of Glasgow. So the attitude of the Celtic players, of the Celtic manager, has been incredible. I can't say a word, but the attitude of Rangers, the way the club's been run, is disgraceful. That's the word I would use, disgraceful.
I need to take Mark's word for it on how he spends his time and how the Rangers players spend. I'll need to take you down there, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. You and Mark could go together tonight and relax. But disgraceful. And you know what struck me there, actually, because Mark was talking about, you know, that's yet another game against St Mirren. And it feels like everybody knows that the headline failure from Rangers is nowhere we're winning the league. That's kind of all that matters. But apart from then, you know, the head-to-head against Celtic, all these little micro benchmarks that you're trying to hit, like that, you know, can't beat St Mirren over a few games. The home run they went on, you know, the away run they went on earlier in the season, all that sort of stuff. Like, by every small measurement, it seems like they've come up short.
Since 2011, Rangers have been in a turbulent, chaotic, financially unhealthy state. And that's why they need 49ers Enterprises. The only point that I disagree with Mark on is that next week, when Rangers play Celtic, the players will put in a shift, because it would be a form of industrial misconduct not to do so in a game against Celtic. But the club crying out for investment, Mark's right, things have reached the lowest point now. If Celtic do win next weekend, they go 20 points ahead of Rangers. He's also right, Mark, when he says Barry Ferguson will not get the job. It just will not happen now. It was always a long shot. It's now in the fanciful category. Rangers need to make this takeover work, because it's the last chance.
Yeah, it's been a tough time for Barry Ferguson, because I think when you get the job interim, you need to really make a mark, especially a club as big as Rangers, because it's been going one way this season under Philip Clement and some really poor results. So you really need to make a difference, especially domestically. And I think, is that 7 league games? They've failed to win 4 of those, even the ones that they did win. Again, you're looking at goals conceded against Kilmarnock early on, and he has to change things. Dundee, so they've had to scrap and change things to fight their way back into those games to win. So not necessarily blitzing teams, and that's what's going to work against them getting the job permanently.
I did sort of bring this up quite a bit at the start, when he got, you know, one or two good results or one or two good moments in games. I said it was important to remember that the sample size is so small. So what it means is that everything then becomes knee jerk. You know, you get one good result, people are over the moon. Mm-hmm. Something bad, then it flips the other way. Are we now at a point where if this goes on any longer, maybe we're there already, but if it goes on any longer, you might say it's actually got worse since Philip Clement left? Is that what Barry Ferguson has to now guard against?
Yes. Look, I can't speak highly enough of Barry Ferguson, the job that he's done pulling the club together. That's what he was really put out there for. He's, you know, the fans were leaving their droves after the Queen's Park, and it was a real low point for Rangers as a football club. And obviously Clement loses his job. Barry came in there and he pulled everything together, because the supporters realise what the club means to Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Dodds and McGregor. But going forward, you have to look at the bigger picture. You're looking at a manager across the city that's going to probably, you know, unless something drastic happens, win another treble. He never loses at Hampden. So if you're the new owners coming in there, and as much as people say, well, Barry Ferguson went up against Brendan Rodgers being Celtic, but it's over a course and distance. You know, it's a different ball game, a one-off game. Anybody, he could end up beating them next week as well. But over a course and distance, I think Rangers need something that's going to mirror a Brendan Rodgers.
I take it there's a lot that annoys you or concerns you, or whatever the word would be, Mark, about the players as well, this Rangers team, based on what you see today.
Shocking, absolutely shocking. Ferguson's only responsible for the last few games. I mean, Tavernier, a captain. See, I look back to the days of Richard Goff, John Gregg, they'd have them up the sandpits tonight, running around, and I know these days are gone, or in at Ibrox running around the pitch. That is it's an embarrassment to call him a captain. So forget testimonial nonsense. Thank you, good night. They cannot possibly announce a testimonial for James Tavernier. But the attitude of the players is, stinks. That I have to tell you, stinks. Because you can lose a league, you can lose games, but they don't seem to. A lot of them don't seem to care. There's guys who clearly do care, the likes of Big John Suter, Raskin, maybe build a team around them next year. But the majority of them, guys in smoke three times a week in cafes in Glasgow. How does that look for the support? So honestly, there needs to be a huge, huge change from the very top to the very bottom, and it wouldn't surprise me if Rodgers signs a new contract with Celtic, and we still haven't done a deal in terms of the 49ers buying the club. That wouldn't be surprising if that happens in the next few weeks.
I think Mark needs to get up that lounge and relax. And if Nadeem Bahrami's lawyers are listening, you're more than welcome to give us the right of reply if this was mistaken identity. I'm now worried. I thought I'd heard it all on this show, Hugh.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But just with regard to James Tavernier, I think Mark's a little cruel there, if you don't mind me saying so. He's put in his 10 years at Rangers. The club deem him worthy of a testimonial. It's Mark's prerogative to attend or not attend, but it's Rangers' prerogative to stage the testimonial match. I go back to the big picture. Since 2011, Rangers have, while Celtic have been synonymous with success, Rangers have been synonymous with turbulence on and off the park, chaos on and off the park, and a financial state of health that's not good. That's why there's a takeover.
You got plans tonight?
Have I got plans tonight?
You, Hugh, Mark.
Yeah, we're going to the cafe. Three times a week I'll be gone.
Okay,
I've got to go on Tuesday afternoon before I come on, just to see if it will relax me.
Thank you to Mark on the line. Very unhappy with what he witnessed in Paisley today. What about James in Drumchapel? Hi, James. Sorry, James, that was my fault. Start again.
How are you doing?
Got
all right?
Got you, James. Got you now. Take it away.
Aye, I'm all right, guys. It's just that last caller yet again. It doesn't matter what James Tavernier does in a Rangers jersey. He will always be the whipping boy with some people. The man cost us £250,000 and he has outscored our strikers for a number of years. He's outscored Morelos, who is treated like a god at Ibrox for some reason. But this man seems to get it in the neck week in and week out. Unless Tavernier scoring a hat trick and firing balls into the top corner week in and week out, he can't do any right. And it's an absolute disgrace. You've got Rangers fans coming on that station and having a go at him. He's the only one that has stepped up for Rangers time after time. He steps up to take the big penalty kicks in games. It's not a given to score these goals. He's still going to step up. And I'm sick and tired of so-called Rangers fans having a go at the only guy. Maybe if we had another 10 players like James Tavernier, we would go on a lot better.
I would agree with James rather than Mark. I think James Tavernier has been an incredible signing, an incredible player for Rangers throughout the years. And Hugh touched on it, that his time at Rangers had coincided with a turbulent period off the pitch where managers are chopping and changing, the finances, they cannot match Celtic. But he was still pivotal in that year that they did win the trophy and get to a European final. So, you know, that's to be celebrated. But he's quite quickly brought down by Rangers fans when things are going badly, because he is the captain, because he wears the armband. And that's the price that the captain, either Celtic or Rangers, pays when the other has been so successful. Because others will come and go, but because of the longevity in Tavernier's Rangers career, and that's quite right, because he's been a top player, because he wears the armband, people think he should be doing more constantly. Has he got flaws? Of course he's got flaws defensively. But there's a lot more problems at Rangers than James Tavernier over the years.
Is there any middle ground, James, where maybe you are right in that you can't argue with what he's contributed and you think he's the least of Rangers' problems, but also this has all just been hanging over the place too long and he's become associated with difficult periods at the club, and then it's just best for everyone that you find a new option? Do you see what I mean? Just kind of meeting in the middle somewhere.
I do agree that eventually time catches up with everybody. Of course it does. And you've only got a certain period of time at a club. But I just think, over the piece, for what he's obviously done for us, we've got a guy at the other end of the park that needs about 22 shots to try and get one on target. He's threw one on one today. He scores that, we win 3-2. And then nobody's having a go at Tavernier. We've got bigger problems at the club right now than James Tavernier. I remember watching Stephen Davis as captain. He wasn't the most vocal of guys. He wasn't the most guy that was running about shouting ball at folk. I've grew up with guys like Richard Goff, Terry Butcher, etc. Obviously they're being loud and whatever on the park. But football has now changed over the years. All the last managers at Rangers have had, they've kept Tavernier as a captain. So was Gerrard trying to keep him as a captain?
Rather than yet another James Tavernier debate, because I think you've put up the defence pretty well, James. The previous caller made his point. Give me your general thoughts on things right now, and you know, after the game today and so on?
I just think that I wish the season would end anew, so we can obviously try and get this takeover done. I'm looking forward to it. I do believe that when the 49ers do come in, there will be big changes. I'm just hoping that we're going to get, because this is going to be a massive appointment now as a manager. They have to get it right. They've got to get a guy in that is well respected. He knows what he do. He's a winner. He's going to bring in winners as well for me, because I don't think we have a lot of that in the Rangers team. I think we're quite powered up at times. You know, we've got guys like Nico Raskin and Diomonde. For me, I think I would get rid of Diomonde. I just don't think the guy does enough. That might not be my proper decision. I'm a number of Rangers fans. But for me, I just don't think he does enough. He goes hiding. He's all right when we're winning games, but you don't need that. When you're at Rangers, you need to win every single game. You need to, you know, rise above that. You need to start digging results out. But going forward, it's a massive, massive summer for us, and I just hope that whoever it is coming in gets the job done. But more importantly, we're going to need money to try and get anywhere near Celtic. And if we don't, then guys, I can see them going on to dominate Scottish football for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years. They'll probably end up doing 11 in a row, 12 in a row, if we don't get it right this year.
He'll still be here for that, don't worry. Thank you to James in Drumchapel. Plenty more time to reflect on Paisley or that title win. Celtic fans, what are you thinking now? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL all here reflecting on a big day across Scottish football, one which saw Celtic officially become Premiership champions. We've known for a while it was in the making, but they got over the line in some style today. Ewan is in Oban. How good was it today, Ewan?
Hi there, Gordon. Hi there, panel. How are you all doing?
Good.
You all right?
All good. How are you? Pretty good after today, I'd imagine.
Very, very good, Gordon. Yep. Just wanting to sort of allude to, firstly, some of the callers, especially one that was saying that, you know, he's claiming to be a Celtic fan, saying that it's getting a bit sort of boring. I don't really know where he's coming from there with that, to be honest with you. I certainly wouldn't.
Are you talking about the first caller? I don't think he said it was boring, was he?
Did he use the word boring? Did he say that it was a bit?
No, I think he just brought up the fact that he's of an era where he's got nothing but success. But he said there was, you know, no team in Europe like us. It was all very complimentary. Yeah, I think there was one line in there where he said maybe it wouldn't, maybe it doesn't mean as much as if it was a smaller team. I mean, look, you take that point. As an example, right? See if St Mirren won the league, you didn't shut down Paisley for 6 weeks. So yeah. I think that's what people mean. It's not about taking anything away from Celtic.
This whole thing about boring and tedious, it's of no consequence to Brendan Rodgers, and it's of no consequence to the Celtic players, because as Brendan Rodgers said today, it's about their mentality and their ability to work their socks off. These are the things that he said today, and that they have the club values at heart, and that when they are needed to turn up, they turn up. So Celtic are in a very, very good place, and Celtic know that.
Look, maybe it was crossed wires, you know. I think he was being quite complimentary. But anyway, give us your own take on how good it was and how good this season's been.
Firstly, again, I want to say that the show last night I thought was presented absolutely brilliantly. Yourself, Scott Allen, and Hugh Keevans again just was remarkable. I think Scott Allen plays off him very well. I thought Hugh was coming to his own brilliantly last night. The way you spoke about Celtic and James Forrest, I thought it was, I would again agree with you what you said about Brendan Rodgers. I know you thought it was a grenade. Goes down, you know, maybe that's what you've got to do sometimes, throw grenades. But I thought it was brilliant what he said. And again, I'm actually wanting to put this to Hugh again, because I think he can elaborate on what I'm going to say better than anybody. I come across people in my work life and in my personal life, and they'll ask me why I'm travelling down to the football and why I'm going to the football after you've played your own sport or whatever, and you've thought, look, this is my time now to go down, and, you know, they won't understand. They'll say, I've never been to a football game in my life, and that's fair enough. But then they almost protrude that you shouldn't have that affection towards it, and basically they just don't get it, and that's fair enough. But I just think that it's more than that, and anyone that loves football and loves their club will, you know, be able to explain that better. And I just think there's no better person to sort of say that than you, because
I think you'd need to be fully on board with the original point. I think I think the emotion's overwhelming you and hear you.
But I understand that though. I mean, we have a family member who, and Ewan will know this, he lives in Mora. Now Mora is as far to the west of the Highlands as it's possible to get, other than 2 miles up the road in Malig. And he's a Celtic season ticket holder. You know, so that's an even greater distance to come. Today's a day of high emotion for Ewan and for all the Celtic supporters and what is going on at the club. But my guarantee to Ewan and everyone else is that when Brendan Rodgers came back down the road in the bus today from Dundee, he was planning next season. Not next Sunday at Ibrox, not the Scottish Cup final, he would be looking at that, but he's already planning for next season. And he's given the 200% guarantee, to quote Brendan Rodgers, that he will be there. And it will be a very interesting and demanding season for Brendan Rodgers and Celtic and all supporters. But be assured, he will be planning that right now.
Oh, listen, it was a day that no doubt means a lot. Gordon told the Celtic fans, seeing a season of hard work come to fruition.
Yeah, and it was a perfect way to finish it off, Gordon. I thought that, I said before the game kicked off, the way Dundee United have played this season, especially at Tannadice, it was going to be difficult. But once the first goal went in, once Callum McGregor and Hatate realised that, you know, we had to change it a little bit, they started dominating from the middle of the park. Kuhn gets a double, Ida comes on. I thought his link-up play was good. They're just, at that level, they're just a cut above when they pass the ball quickly and move, and nobody can really live with them.
Yep, maybe it doesn't matter in the end up, Mark, but today it will feel like it matters, in the sense that Celtic slipped up at St Johnstone, the manager wasn't happy, and since then they have put their foot to the floor and then some.
Well, it shows what hold he has over that group of players, that when he reiterates the standards or field and needs to, he gets a response instantly. And he obviously sets up his principles at the start of the season, and pre-season is huge for that, in telling the players, the new ones in particular, what the club is, what he is as a manager, what he expects. And that's why Celtic start so well regularly. But when it takes a wee dip, even when they're miles ahead, he's not scared to have a go. And the important thing is, he gets a response like he did today in the past 2 weeks.
Thank you to Ewan on the line. Let's hear from Barry Ferguson after another disappointment, this time in Paisley.
The issue I've got is, people don't fear playing Rangers now. Whether that's at home or away, they enjoy coming to Ibrox teams. And then when you go away from home, teams look if they can bully you, run harder than you, get in about you. And yep, that's something that again needs to change going forward. You need to build a strong team domestically. And I'm sure whoever takes the job will hopefully totally understand that.
Yeah, it's drawn 7, lost 7 for Rangers now this season, Gordon. It just, you can see where he's coming from there. The fear factor, is it gone for you?
100%, yeah. And it's gone because I think that every team now that lines up against Rangers fancy them to score. You know, they're conceding too many goals, cheap goals, easy goals, and obviously no scoring enough at the other end. I think Barry's right. I think just listening to him there, I think he knows that obviously going forward it won't be him. But I always go back to it. I thought he's been absolutely brilliant for a club in this short spell. But he realises that someone else needs to take the reins and start afresh, get players in that he quite rightly knows, because he's amongst those
great players at Rangers, that there was always a fear factor when you went to places like Ibrox and Rangers turn up. And he's correct, it's no longer there, and he's disappointed with that.
Because see, on the balance of goals, Mark, the most important stat is obviously the points column on the far right of the table. That is the most important by a mile. But in terms of goal difference, on the day that the title's been wrapped up, there is a goal difference gap of 47.
That's
between
lot,
Celtic and Rangers, between first and second.
Yeah, and that shows you how tightly contested some of those wins have been for Rangers. You know, just not good. You know what it's shown this season? It's shown the difference between good players and top players, because, you know, Rangers have good players, there's no doubt about that, but the top players are the ones with a mentality to match, to go to a good club. So when Celtic are recruiting these guys, they have to be sure that they can handle the pressures that's going to come with playing for a top club. And Rangers have fell short in that regard. And I think that's why Barry Ferguson is so irritated when his team drops points, because he had that mentality. He could deal with that pressure. And it's sometimes difficult when you're like him, probably, to think, well, these players are good, I can see them in training. But when the crowds are there, when the expectations are there, they underperform and underdeliver. So he's right in, you know, putting that out there, that they need to be much better in that respect. Quite interesting the way whoever, when he says there, whoever takes a job, first time I've kind of thought he knows he's not getting it. Yeah.
He knows the diagnosis of the situation, but he doesn't know if he's the doctor. And Rangers will have to go and get themselves a manager, because even Barry knows now it's not going to be him. But what a day of roller coaster emotions, a day of delight for Celtic, day of despondency for Rangers, day of despair for Hearts and their fans, another home defeat, and a day of joy for Tony Docherty and Dundee, for Motherwell and Michael Vimmer, and for Derek McInnes at Kilmarnock. So top, bottom, it's all building up towards a crescendo now, and I suspect that St Johnson are down and that Ross County will need to negotiate a playoff.
Because see, just on that, Gordon, I know it's not the be all and end all, but just as an example of the both ends of the pitch, this is by a mile the biggest goal difference gap there's been between Celtic and Rangers since Rangers' first season back up. You know, when they came back up and they finished third, and they were, you know, they were miles behind, and Celtic went invincible. Since then, this is the biggest goal difference gap by an absolute mile that we've had in that entire time.
Yeah, and that's something that Rangers will need to address as well, Gordon, if they've got to get anywhere near the Celtic and the champions. That's one thing Brendan Rodgers prides himself on, clean sheets. Rangers don't have enough. And obviously the other end, with the form of Maeda and the front three and McGregor and midfield players, they've got goals all over the pitch.
Well, congratulations once again to Celtic. It has been a very interesting Scottish Premiership season. It is not over yet, but it is at the top. Celtic are champions, well done to them. Still so much to play for down the league. You look at that bottom six today, some sensational results and plenty more to come across the next few weeks. We will recap all the weekend's big talking points here on Monday night, 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us then, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday in the company of the GBX.